When we were playing the song Sir Psycho Sexy, I was, the main thought that I was concentrating on in my head was, because there was this really beautiful girl there at the studio, and I was thinking, if Anthony doesn't fuck tonight, then I'm not doing my job as a guitar player, because this is the sexiest song, you know, that I've ever heard in my life.
There, welcome to this week's episode of Different Times Podcast. Just going to do a quick check. Danny Different, have you plugged in everything correctly? Are you ready to go?
Green light's on. My microphone is firmly placed in the sock weight microphone holder, and I've got a champagne flute brimming with Tizer. Or it might be Iron Brew. So definitely Iron Brew. Can you get Tizer anymore?
No, you cannot.
Was Tizer, it was basically the same thing as Iron Brew, wasn't it?
One of the flavours. Tizer had like two flavours. You had a red one and an orangey one. Doesn't Iron Brew just taste like rust?
I don't know, it's for Scottish people, isn't it?
Well, when I eat rust, I always mistake it for Iron Brew, so maybe. Dan, you've interrupted my bath.
Sorry, dude. Are you in your, just in a towel, sitting there all wet and attractive?
No, I've got my jammies on. Yeah, but you, when you said, do you want to just do it in the bath, I was like, yeah, I could do that. That would save me loads of time. And then I just thought, I will be electrocuted and die. So it's probably a bad idea.
Bad news.
Go on.
Gathering of the Juggalos 2020 has been cancelled. They refuse to risk even one Juggalo life.
That is probably the most sensible thing that they've ever done.
I tell you, I'm in bloody agony this week. I'm quite an avid phone user for Facebook and all that sort of stuff, as you know. So I do that a lot. And when I'm not doing that, I'm on the Xbox all the time, just like getting through these long days. And my left arm now is in absolute agony where I've got repetitive strain injury. I can't be the only person that this has happened to. But the thing is, I can't stop. I sat down and had a four-hour session on Fallout last night for no reason at all. I could have, like, watched The Office or a music documentary or anything else, but I just really wanted to play, even though I knew it was going to hurt. And now, like, it's fucking agony.
So when you are fighting at the end of level monsters or whatever, if there is that sort of thing, like, it's actual real pain that's being inflicted now.
It is. I hadn't thought of it that way.
There we go. I'm just trying to, like, no one out there feels sorry for you, Dan. Nobody.
No one ever has.
Good life. Oh, mate, I did once. I remember a time when girlfriend split up with you, and, man, that was hard times. I remember consoling you. You didn't really want to know. You were angry and, like, upset and confused.
Yeah, but I was okay again the next day.
Yeah, well, less than the next day, let's be honest. But it was harsh time, and I did, you know, I choked up.
You just happened to be there, Paul.
I had a coronavirus experience this week. Shall I talk about that?
Yeah, go on then.
So, right, this is interesting. We stayed up until midnight, and we got an online shop, right? But we went to Waitrose. Because they've just started doing online shopping, just thought, right, we can't get anything else. We don't want to go and mingle with the general populace and die. So
yeah, I've stopped going to Asda now. I've saw so many stupid things last time I went. A woman opened some eggs, like felt them and lifted up and down, and then put them back on the shelf and opened up another thing. If it hadn't been a 70-year-old woman, I probably would have battered her over the head.
Okay, that's good. I like that. A bit of egg interjection there. Do you know that I have been guilty of such things as well, and then realised I did it, and I bought the thing anyway because I did it.
Yeah, I've done that. I picked up like a pear or something and thought, I don't like that one, but I've touched it now, so I better buy it. If you need any pears, mate, you just come and see me, all right?
Understood. So I did this all order, and... We're like, well, chuff, we don't have to go and mingle. Drove. We had to go to Canterbury because that was the one that was doing it close to us. And would you believe, Daniel, you have to go into the building anyway because they don't do it in the car park like at Tesco. You have to go into building and you have to, already you're mingling. Then you have to wait 20 minutes while they like tick your name off and go and find your order. In that 20 minutes, you got all sorts of knobheads coming up to you because you're by the customer service desk. It felt worse than a normal shopping experience would do. It was the worst.
If you'd done it online, they'd deliver it.
No, this was a click and collect.
Like you say, even down at my local Asda's, I'd rather walk around and just pick up nice ones rather than order it in.
Talking of pears, yeah, that's a great link. Yeah, it's a great link. Fiona Apple. Now, I didn't mention this to you.
Because you knew I wouldn't care.
But I meant to have been listening to all these things that we've sorted out this week to talk about to our lovely audience out there. But all I've been doing is listening to Fiona Apple and her back catalogue. Like, say, I was on a conference call with one of the bands I work with called Mountain Caller, and they just said, I can't believe you haven't heard this yet. You like Kate Bush, you might like this. So I listened to it, and that was it. Like, I went down a music rabbit hole, and I love it when I discover something new. I don't know why I've ignored her for so many years, but, like, this is the first album in, like, 7.5 years, and it is great. So I just want to say to anybody out there that's not a metalhead or is a metalhead and sometimes just wants something a bit softer, a little bit off-kilter, then, yeah, Fetch the Bolt Cutters by Fiona Apple is my current go-to.
On a similar note, Chris Cornell's daughter, Tony, she just done a cover of Hunger Strike for some COVID-19 relief thing. Did you see that?
Yeah, yes, I bloody did, Daniel.
Wasn't she amazing? How I couldn't sing my dad's song like that and not burst out into tears.
I did get a little chill. And when I hear Chris Cornell's original version, I'm not very keen on it.
Yeah, I love the original, but this was just a beautiful little moment.
Yeah, I think it was like the reason why it gave me chills was because of the whole situation rather than the song. I find the song really wet.
Oh, I love that song. I'm going to play it just to piss you off.
Hi, I'm Tony Cornell, sitting in my dad's studio during this crazy time. I'm going to sing one of my favorite songs for you guys. I love you, Daddy, and I hope I do this some justice.
Lovely.
Thank you.
And that's it for this week, folks.
I deserve that. Right, should we talk about some music?
Okay, what one do you want to get into first?
Let's start with the Aborted EP.
Ooh. Well, it's one of your choices, so you better go first.
Okay, right. It's only got 3 tracks, right? So it's not very long. So, of course, thankfully, you've listened to it hundreds of times. It's called Le Grand Masquerade. As I say, it's an EP. Now, they formed in 1995, and they were first recommended to me by Dan from Conjurer. And we were sitting together in Leeds, and I was just like, do you know any bands that are like really screamy, really gnarly, and just sing about horror? And he was like, do you know Aborted? And I was like, no, I don't know Aborted. And he introduced me to them, and I didn't like them. Didn't like all their new stuff at all. The old stuff was all right, but that new stuff I wasn't that keen on. Now, one thing I would say about this EP, if you like your drumming unbelievably fast, you could well be drawn in. But it's got that thing going on, and it's only 3 tracks, but it's got that thing I freaking hate with grindcore, especially when they do a squealy pig voice. Hate it. I hate that voice.
I love pig squeals, as long as they're done well. But I totally don't understand. Well, now I do that it's like the horror link. But this, the drums, the voice, the riffs, nothing about it was special. Just completely middle of its genre. Not the worst, not the best. I just don't understand why you brought it up, dude. What did you see?
I only brought it up because it's one of the bands that I'd heard of that released something last week.
Oh,
and
right.
I thought, right, I've heard of them. I recognise the logo. I spoke to Dan. He was a fan. And they're one of those bands that if you can get into them, like, you have got a world of stuff to dig into. But it's just not for me. It reminds me, do you know when we started out as Ohms and we always used to play any gig that we could play, which meant we ended up playing with, like, some horrible grindcore bands. I particularly remember playing the Isle of Sheppey somewhere. It was this horrible band. And yeah, it reminds me of this sort of shit, like just constant pig squeals, ridiculous drums, guitars flying everywhere. Like, it's really well played, it's really tight. But, oh, mate, I'm so bored. And it's 3 songs and I was bored out of my face.
Yeah, this was a total, like, nothing for me, like a 4 out of 10 at best.
Well, you recommended Creator the other week to me, that 666 World Divided single.
Yeah, we forgot to talk about that last week. Now, that was cool. I really like that.
Yeah, so I thought, right, I'm going to listen to that because that came up like on my stuff that you've recommended. So I was like, right, in I go with that because I was so disappointed with this Aborted thing. And like up until the chorus, I was so in, Dan. Like, I was like, oh, my God, we didn't talk about this. This is amazing. It reminds me of, like, old Extreme Aggression album and the Renewal album, and it was just working so well. And then the chorus was sort of like this pop thing. I don't know if you got that from it. And I'm like, did you like the chorus? Or
yeah, I did. I think that's the bit I like the best, to be honest. The verse to me was, like, cool but generic, and then the chorus was the bit that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect about this new album. You know our buddy H from the band Acid Rain? He mentioned that it was a bit much like everything else they're doing with Modern Creator. It sort of, it all just washes over him as a very similar vibe. But I felt like, as I say, so excited when it started. But by the end, I was just like, oh, I don't know now. I don't know. But you know when you just get those, oh, I'm getting a little tingle here, this could be awesome, this could be awesome. But it didn't happen. Sorry, Creator. Stop sucking.
I was recommended a band called Calligram by one of our listeners, actually, called Steve Briscoe. So thank you very much, Steve, for the recommendation, because I absolutely fucking loved it. You heard of Calligram before, Waller?
I put them out on a weekender with Jason's band, Harrowed.
That was a very good thing to do.
yeah, tell me about the album. Tell me what you think.
Well, I'm going to tell you more than just about the album.
Mm.
They are based in London, but as you probably know, if you know them already, all the blurb calls them a multinational band. So there's members from United Kingdom, France, Italy and Brazil. They've got two EPs out so far. And this is their debut LP on Prosthetic Records called The Eye is the First Circle.
I didn't know about them being from all over the place, but I was worried that I was listening to a different Calligram because all the titles were foreign. So I was like, is this band that I did?
They sing exclusively in Italian.
That makes sense.
They've get described as a lot of things, but I think the two biggest elements here are definitely black metal and hardcore, but not your sort of classic New York style hardcore, more the Euro hardcore that we're into. Yeah, you can definitely tell, you can't understand the vocals because they're like black metal screams, but they've definitely got that Italian sort of syntax to the way it's spoken and the flow to it. It's got quite a nice crusty feel to it as well. It's certainly not overproduced.
That's what I liked about it the most. Why I wanted to work with Harrowed was I just love that crustiness. And I said to them, who do you want to go out on tour with? And they said, like, there was a band called Geist and Calligram. And, yeah, both of them bands, like, have got that feel. But this one, as you say, they inject this, like, screamo Europe stuff that we used to love. Like, back in the very, very late 90s, early noughties?
Yeah, and it's definitely black metal as well, but it doesn't... A lot of bands that are doing this sort of thing switch from genre to genre halfway through the song, like the verse, the chorus, and it feels a bit fractured, but the transition between the overlapping styles here, it's just seamless, and I think it's done mainly by the drums. So you've got loads of blast beats, and then out of nowhere you'll be doing like hardcore D beats, and it's all just so ferocious in your face, but still very emotive. It's not macho, it's, you know, gut-wrenching sort of stuff, like raw emotion. Excellent crossing of hardcore and black metal.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's excellent, but I tell you what is sort of how I was rating things. When I got into Fiona Apple, this was one thing that I didn't come back to. I think I listened to the album three times and I thought, do you know what? I've got a good feel for this now. I know what it is. And I felt like it was just far too brutal for me.
It is brutal.
It doesn't let up. It's like only 35 minutes long, and yet you feel exhausted when you've listened to it all the way through. Like, it feels like a fight because they are going so, like, when they do their black metalisms, like you say, like, it is full on, and those screams are so crusty and, yeah, really crusty. But it's like when they break it down, that's the bits that I really liked, and I thought I could do with a lot more of that.
first pressing is only 200 vinyls on Black and Pink Splatter. Do you remember we released an album on Custard and Jam vinyl? It looks like that, but black and pink, it's well cool. And I think if these guys get as big as sort of I think they could be, then that's going to be a hot bit of thing to say, look what I've got.
Dude, I thought the same thing, and I thought it was better looking than our record. I thought it was so beautiful. I was tempted to click just because of how good that record looks. And you don't normally do that just because a good-looking record comes about. But, yeah, I was so tempted. I bought a couple of T-shirts by varying different bands instead. I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good with them. As I say, I didn't come back. Would you think you'd come back to them?
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
I'll tell you what, we spoke about it, I think it was last week or the week before, the new Therapy album.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I cannot stop going back to that.
Brilliant. Okay, I want to have a little chat about that. So I have gone back to the Therapy back catalogue rather than that album.
Oh, really?
I've put it all into my playlist. But the thing is, it doesn't have them first two EPs. It starts at Nurse on Spotify, which is pretty frustrating because I love them first two EPs. So I'm going to make a plea to Spotify because I know they're listening. Like, please put them on. Like, honestly, Therapy are so underrated. Do you know what I mean? They are so underrated. They should have been massive. I think, do you know what I really think? I think they fucked it up when they put out the single Diane and the album that followed. What was it? Infernal Love?
Yeah.
I just think they fucked up too bad. It wasn't what the people wanted. I think it was more the image than the music on that record. I just think the image, like the metal audience they'd built up just thought, I'm not having this.
Yeah, because they started wearing suits and ties and stuff, didn't they?
Well, yeah, I think Andy was wearing like I remember it being like a red shirt and it was a bit frilly. And it put my friends off.
That's it, like a bit Jacobean almost.
Yeah, bloody band. Like, I just think, especially with, like, I don't know, I just think they're really solid and really underrated. So, yeah, Therapy. Pretty cool. They're only like 40 years old. Do you know any new music that's come out then?
Bombs of Hades, Phantom Bell EP.
Phantom Bell. Dude, thank you so much for telling me about this. Like, give me a description and, like, I love this, but I want to know what you think.
They're a Swedish band, and do you know the band At The Gates?
I do know the band At The Gates.
What about At The Gates?
Never heard of them.
No. Well, this has got Jonas Stahlhammer, which I assume is how you pronounce it. Started off as a crusty punk band back in 2006, just as like a sort of side project to fuck about and get drunk and be as noisy as you want sort of thing. And then very quickly started to get a bit more serious, and it switched to the crusty death metal sort of scene. And then it's made its way to what it is now. The tiny band, only about 4,200 likes on Facebook, and I
really?
Must say, yeah, I added one for them today, that's for sure. Their last release was an LP called Death Mask Replica in 2016, so this little EP has been a while in the making, and supposedly, if you read the blurb, it's like them sort of revving back up to release another proper album sometime in the future. And it doesn't immediately come off to me as death metal. If you take the song Phantom Bell, for example, or I'll play a nice chunk of it for you now.
We'll be right back. Nice.
It's almost moving towards the stoner doom sort of sound, especially when it comes to that bluesy guitar solo. But then there's just certain little tropes, certain little licks in there that link it back to that death metal in places. And the thing that I love about the most is the length of the songs. This first song, Phantom Bell, it's only 2 minutes 40 long. So it doesn't give you a chance to get boring or drag on in any way. I think the last song is 5 minutes, and that's as long as it gets, and the others are somewhere in the middle. Now, I did read somewhere that 2 of these songs are covers before I listened to it, and it just said the artist and didn't say which song. So even with a quick Google search, I couldn't find out which ones were covered. But when I listened to it, my assumption was the song Lungs was like a slightly off-kilter version of Orgasmatron when it kicked in.
Exactly that.
It's just got that Orgasmatron riff, basically, just completely stolen. And thinking about it now, the whole thing has got that kind of Motorhead, mid-paced, sort of throbbing groove to it.
I totally agree, Dan. It reminded me in places of Bathory and Celtic Frost, but like there was that overall crusty Motorhead thing going on. Like 100% right. Like that last song, I was in the bath and I just put it on for the first time. And when I got to that, I was like, oh wow, they've covered Orgasmatron. That's
it's nice. Almost like you want to do a double take, isn't it? Because it sounds so similar.
But it isn't Orgasmatron, because like the words are completely different. It's just they've taken the music, they've even taken the bit where it slides into like the sort of not a middle eight, but like a bit of pre-chorus, then goes back into the main riff, and it nicks that, and they do something else over the top of that. It's like they're not happy with Lemmy's like words or something, and have just what's going on? I love it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm so glad I found this band, and I'm well up for whatever they do as an album going forward.
100%. Like this is for me the release of the week, except for Mrs. Apple. But like, I'm so glad you put this my way. Like, and what the thing, like the one thing I don't like about it, Dan, like, and I know there's only 4 songs, happy with that, fine with that, even if it's 2 covers, fine. But that front cover, what is it so shit for? What is it? It's rubbish.
It looks like, you know, you see on Facebook these days those things saying, oh, this piece of art was generated by a random computer, and it looks like some, almost like some figures, and maybe there's like a tree, and you know, it's not that great.
It is not that great, is correct. It really is not that great. Very disappointed with that cover, but like, honestly, out there, if anything we've said, any of those bands we've mentioned, like, appeals to you, this is like not exactly that, but it's really close. It's Bombs of Hades, man. Daniel, you're amazing. I've just liked them myself on Facebook, so I'm going to get some, hopefully, some stories coming from them over this pandemic. Okay, what is next?
ACXDC.
Okay, tell me about them.
New album coming called Satan is Coming. So these are 2 songs from that. If you know ACXDC, then you know what to expect, really. Power Violence describes them best, but they get called hardcore and all that sort of thing. It's not Nails, though. It's a lot crustier than that.
It feels so real. It feels like they are 100% in it for life. It reminds me of when you used to buy that stuff on Slapper Ham, like Fuck on the Beach or whatever. It just feels real. It's got that same feel about it. Like 2 songs, Satan is King and Cop Sucker. What do you prefer?
Satan is King is my favourite, just because they shout Satan is King a lot. There's a nice breakdown bit where they shout Satan is King, then it speeds up and they shout Satan is King some more. It almost becomes like anthemic before the end of it. Copsucker is a lot more traditional ACXDC affair, but like I said, if you know the bands, then you know what to expect. There's no surprise here. It's just they're fucking great at what they do. Did you watch them with me when we saw them at the Temples replacement show?
If I did see them, no, do you know what? I didn't. I went and did the merch. You saw them.
I did.
God damn it. I can't believe you've seen them. How good were they?
They were rushed. They literally turned up, dumped their merch in that little bit of church that we were in, and literally run in and went straight on stage. So they were a bit shell-shocked by the look of it, to the, you know, straight out the van onto stage sort of scenario, as you would be, but they were great. You know, tons of energy, fucking loud. So when this Satan Is Coming comes out and they tour, I will definitely be going. Do you want a fun fact?
Oh, I live for those fun facts.
You know Brad Boatridge, who mastered Ohms's albums?
Yes.
He also would have been mastering Antichrist Demon Core, their first album, at the same time as he was doing Cold.
That is a fun fact. Okay, he does a lot of good shit. Like, but I don't think he's got a particular sound. But that's the thing. I don't know if you can make mastering like recognizable. Does that make sense? Like production styles, you can pick things out sometimes. You just know. Like the key example would be Steve Albini. You know if Steve Albini's produced something or engineered something. But with mastering, like when you go through Brad Boatwright's like complete list of bands that he's worked with, like I can't. Do you know what? I just think they're a good bunch of bands, but nothing is like that sounds like that. You can tell he's done that. Tell he's done that. So do you know what mastering does?
It just boosts everything and evens it out, doesn't it?
Fuck knows. I think it's a con.
Yeah, we paid enough for it. Iron Maiden don't bother with it.
No, they fucking don't. But I tell you what, then you can hear when it hasn't been done. That's the key. Like, yeah. when it hasn't been mastered, it sounds like Hole Your Heart Should Be. Yeah, no one knows about that, and no one needs to know about that. Daniel, did you listen to The Strokes, The New Abnormal?
No, of course I didn't.
Right, I've got to talk about this. It's been out a few weeks. This is the band's sixth album, and it's their first in 7 years, so it's been a long wait for Strokes fans. Now, what really made me want to talk about this, because I was not interested in the album before it, was they released the pre-single, and I kept calling it At The Gates on our podcast. It's called At The Door, and it really annoys me, because sometimes I lay at night trying to get sleep, and I'm thinking, why did I say At The Gates so many times? I just kept saying their new single, At The Gates, and it really bugs me. So I apologise to all our listeners now. That single was called At The Door. And at the moment, it's either my second or first favourite song of the year. So it's that good to me. I absolutely love this song. And the reason why I'm going to bring this album up is because the singer, Julian Casablancas, his voice is so good. In all honesty, with being a singer, I know my limitations, and every time he does what I can do, I'm like, yeah, I know how he's done that. And then he'll pull something out the bag that really fucks me off, because I have no idea how he's able to go from that low to that high without a crack. Like and you can tell that it's not being like fiddled with, because it's something a voice can do or can't do. So yeah, I just love his singing, and this album, it's reasonably short. It feels it anyway, and I would recommend that at home, because I know Daniel won't play any of this. Right, Dan, please tell me. You last week chose an album, and you said this was your favourite album of all time.
My number one album of my life.
Bloody fucking hell. Right, okay. Tell the audience who it is, and let's go into it a little bit.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I did think about making it one of our deep dives of the whole band. I do the whole of the Chili Peppers history, but I only really loved them up to this point. Then after this album, it's a little dip and then a massive steep downhill slide for me. I would honestly struggle to name the albums after One Hot Minute. I know you've got Californication, something about a stadium.
Yeah, Stadium Arcadium.
Other than that, I'd probably recognise the front cover, but...
Oh, by the way... There we go. I wasn't just interrupting you. It is an awful song. Before you go into it, right, let me put you into... I'm going to put you into the place where this came out, right? This was released, and I hope you don't mention this because I've ruined it. This is the best week of releases ever in my lifetime, okay? So as well as Blood Sugar Sex Magik coming out, you've got Pixies' Trompe Le Monde coming out.
What?
Yeah, what? You've got Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger coming out.
Never heard of them.
Primal Scream, Screamadelica.
Shit.
You've got Caius and Wretch. And you've also got Nirvana's Nevermind.
Who?
All in 1 week, dude. 1 week.
That's an expensive week if you're into your alternative indie American rock.
Tell me why you think this is the best album of all time, you absolute mentalist.
I first heard this band when I was on holiday in Australia, and I didn't actually hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I heard the people we were staying with, the next door neighbour's kids, had a covers band, and they said I could go over and watch them one evening, and they played Suck My The Kiss, and I was absolutely blown away, like, what's that, you know? And they told me, and then the next couple of days I ran out and bought Blood Sugar Sex Magik from some there, and that's where it all started.
So this was your first entry point with the Chili's as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
And this was in like 91 when it had just come out, I think, and everyone had latched onto that song on the album because it said lots of swear words in it.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
And then got home and grew my hair long, found a girlfriend, and it was my first proper girlfriend. And we listened to it together. She absolutely loved the Chili's. She loved Anthony Kiedis. And because my hair was long and straight, I think she wanted me to be Anthony Kiedis.
I can see that. You did have that look about you. If you had tattoos on you and a bit of muscle, definitely.
Yeah, I was too young for tattoos then, mate. I was only about 15.
You're never too 14, young.
14, 15.
Never too young.
It got to number 3 in the Billboard charts. Did Nevermind get to number 1?
Yeah, it knocked Michael Jackson off the top.
Hmm. And the previous album, Mother's Milk, had only been like in the late 50s or some 57, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that was my entry point.
Yeah, the date that you are talking about was September the 24th, 1991.
I'd say so.
Yeah, released by Warner Brothers, who they were sort of on shaky ground with, where the last few albums hadn't been going so well. Produced by Rick Rubin, who I think is completely to credit for the success and why I love this album. And funnily enough, he'd previously turned down the chance to work with the Chili's on the Uplift Mofo Party Plan a couple of years before because of Anthony Kiedis's and Hillel Slovak's drug problems.
Well, I think that's fair enough. If you know anything about their drug problems, who would want to be around that shit?
Yeah. Have you ever read Anthony Kiedis's book, Scar Tissue?
I've read a few bits that like were picked out of it and put into my magazines like Kerrang, and also I think Uncut took a little bit out of it as well. But no, not the whole thing, but some of the horror stories in it were literally horror stories.
They are, but they come out as quite funny as well. Like, he's had to go to rehab and it's a horrible thing, and, you know, he's down at his lowest point. And then out of nowhere, he just thinks, fuck it, I need to go. And jumps up and climbs on a wall and runs away.
Well, we all know what happened to Kurt Cobain when he did such things.
But Anthony Kiedis, completely different personality. He's not a depressive character, is he? He's more...
No, he certainly is not.
Full of life and love than that, if that isn't getting a bit soppy.
Yeah, do you know what? I can't think of anyone... Like, you know that James Corden when he's in a car with a band?
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's in the car with Chili Peppers, you know people always say, oh, at least you're not in the car with James Corden and that ginger singer guy. I forget his name. Ed Sheeran. There's that meme that goes, well, at least it's not this bad. At least you're not hanging out with them. I feel that with the Chili Peppers in that car. Like, honestly, can't imagine anything worse than being anywhere near in a trapped, confined space with Anthony Kiedis.
Now, yeah, like, I think they've become a parody of themselves a little bit and are a bit of a dad joke now.
Okay, but let's not talk about now. Yeah, let's talk about then.
When Blood Sugar Sex came out, it had the same effect as Nevermind and Appetite for Destruction. It was just fucking its own thing, you know, above its genre. Legendary. Just, like, changed my life. And You say, like, Appetite for Destruction is dangerous and you wouldn't want your parents to listen to it. Well, I had the same feelings about Blood Sugar Sex Magik, but not because it was aggressive and there was swearing in it. It was just because it was so sexual. It was like you wouldn't want your parents to listen to it. You wouldn't put it on in the car with your parents because they're talking about sex and blowjobs and sucking each other's kisses and stuff, in the same way that you wouldn't want to sit down and watch a porno film with your parents.
Yeah, well, that funk side of them, like a grunge guy or a metal guy wouldn't be listening to funk unless it came in via the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, at that point, like, there was bands that were, like, doing a little bit of it at the same time as 91. So you had, like, Living Colour, who were still flying quite high. You had Faith No More.
Fishbone, Mindfunk.
Yeah, Fishbone, yeah. So, and, like, it was creeping in.
Well, the Chili's plan had been to go more metal with this album and they thought that's where they needed to go. And it was actually Rick Rubin that said, no, we need to fucking strip this down, keep the funkiness, get rid of all the stuff that's too metal. And there's still lots of hints of it in there. Like, if you listen to the chorus of Blood Sugar Sex Magik, you know, that is a heavy, heavy riff. And the end of Give It Away, that's like, you know, touch bit more gain on there, and that's a proper metal riff you got going on there.
I agree, Dan. Like, I've not thought of that before. Like, that album before, Mother's Milk, there was, like, the metal elements were far greater in that. And you're right, the songwriting wasn't as good, so Rick Rubin's clearly, like, chaffed away at all the shit and, like, made them do the best that they could be.
Yeah, they would basically come in and say, this is what we've got, this is what we're thinking of doing today. And he'd take it apart, rearrange it, advise Anthony Kiedis on his lyrics. Like, I can't remember which song it was. Like, I think it was Apache Rose Peacock, where he said, what you've written, the melody is fine, but take it away and make it about girls and cars. And he was like, all right, okie doke, and got a fucking genius out of it.
Come on, don't you find some of these lyrics, like, now when you listen, like, it's embarrassing shit? Surely.
Not at all.
You can't get over, you don't think it's, like, the fact that you're, like, reminiscing about it and, like, the good times that it created? Like, can you separate it and listen to it as it is, or do you actually do that and you still think it's all right?
I still love it, dude. Like, if it came out today, I'd still love it.
I find that mad. Like, listening to this now, like, compared, and I was as big a fan, not maybe as you, but I was as big a fan as, like, all my friends. Like, we loved it. Like, we went and, when it came out, we all phoned up and tried to book tickets, like, with our parents' credit cards and things. And I got to see them it sold out in seconds they played the Brixton Academy two nights. And I got the first night ticket. So I went up there on my own and I was a tiny bloody idiot, like, glasses on, and Rollins is supporting. And I just say to someone in the crowd, like, am I going to be all right? Because I didn't realise was I was in the pit with my glasses and a bag with a couple of records in it.
Like, oh, dear.
And he went, no, you probably don't want to be where you are, mate. And, like, so I moved to the side and I'm so glad I did. And all I remember, Rollins perfectly. Like, I feel like in my head, Rollins just handed Chili Peppers their ass back to him. But all I remember about Chili Peppers that night was the girls screaming. Like, and I was thinking, because I'd seen that footage shortly before that of the Beatles when all the girls were screaming and wetting themselves.
Sure.
It was like that. They were like sex symbols. And it was really weird being in my little grunge and American alt sort of bubble that I was in, like, having girls literally, like, screaming at Flea as he walked onto the stage. And the people were crying because they didn't play Under the Bridge. Like, Anthony said to the audience, we're going to play that tomorrow. You have to come back tomorrow. Like, clearly oblivious that these tickets were sold out months before. But it was like people were crying their eyes out. Like, I'd not seen this.
I saw them on the next tour at Wembley Arena, so that shows how much they'd gone up because of Blood Sugar Sex Magik. So, again, it was one of my first big gigs, and I went with my girlfriend that we were both madly in love with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And we got there about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I think me, Lisa, friend G and our friend Alex that we often talk about, he was there and we all got in the front row and No Doubt opened up for him. And so like, oh, wow. Gwen Stefani was like right there in the face. And Chad Smith came and checked him out and he walked and he slapped mine, Alex's and Lisa's hand as he walked past, like as a doing a high five sort of thing. And then at the end of the show, they smashed everything up on the stage and they had loads of lamps on the stage. And one of the bouncers, I got to go and grab me a lamp and I had it on top of my cupboard for years until my mum decorated my room one day when we were on our first door and she threw it away. Where's my flea lampshade? And she was like, oh, didn't even realise. It's like, oh.
Oh, no.
I'd still have that now. I'd probably like have it in my bedroom.
Oh, my word.
And Flea played completely naked and did a roly-poly halfway through one of the songs and you saw everything flop out. It was brilliant.
Is he well endowed, Flea?
I can't remember back that far. I certainly don't remember thinking too much of it either way, so it must just be average.
Okay. All right. Well, do you know, we must have both been at the Reading Festival when they played.
Is that when they had fire on their heads?
Yes.
No, I definitely wasn't at that one, I don't think. Mike was.
I was at that one, and this is the first time that I fell out of love with them. So, like, during that whole period, I loved Chili's. All my friends were like, no, don't like Blood Sugar Sex Magik. They've sold out purely because they got popular. Whereas I was like, no, actually, this album is really good. You guys are wrong. You stick with your Uplifto mofos. I'm going to stick with this. And then going to that Reading Festival, they kept elongating the songs and extending everything and making little jams out of like just a bass run. I was so bored. And at one period, and I was trapped because I was right at the front. And then at one moment, the rush was so much because like I was probably the only person bored there. The fence came down at the front.
No way.
Yeah, so the fence came down, but the way that you wouldn't expect it. So it didn't go with the crowd. Like, it came back onto the crowd, because obviously people were holding it, and it had gone back that way. So,
oh, mad.
Yeah, exactly. All the security, like, went to pick up this fence, and all the crowd sort of parted. Like, it was really sensible actions from the crowd not to, to kill everyone and try and make a run for the front or whatever. So everyone was helping everyone out. And it was, I finally was able to get out of that sort of like jam in the front. And I watched them from the side and I was so relieved. Like there was something so stagnant about what they were doing at that point. And I just wondered where they were going to go. And I think that following album was Dave Navarro, was it?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's right. And then I was out. I was just out instantly. So when you got to that bit, when you got to that next album, being that this is your favourite album of all time, like, what were your thoughts?
Disappointed again. No, not as much. It's so long ago, but I remember thinking, hang on, this isn't what I signed up for. It's a lot less sexual, and the songs are a lot softer. You know, you could sit down and listen to Aeroplane with your grandma and not be embarrassed.
Yeah, I can see that. I give this album 9 out of 10. What do you give it?
10, obviously.
Can you think, this is your number one, right? Can you think of any period after that where you had an album that you considered, actually, this is my favourite album, like Chili's has gone down a notch? Or has Chili's just always been there, top of the pile, for the rest of your life since it's come out?
Yeah, there was times when I probably wouldn't have admitted it when I was an emo boy. I might have told you Clarity was the best album ever, but if I'd ever had a sensible conversation with someone and sat down and said, right, what's your top albums of all time? This would always be number one, I'm sure.
I love that. I totally love that, Dan. You are a sticker. Do you know what? I found it really disappointing listening to it again.
Really?
Because, yeah, I just couldn't get with some of the lyrics and his singing style grates on me just because over the years it's something I've learned to hate whenever a new Chili's record comes out. Like, there is something like that repulses me, actually repulses me about Anthony. Like, I don't know what it is, but But yeah, I've got no fond memories of those songs. Like the only one that I would actually say, nah, this is perfect, is I Could Have Lied. It's the only one.
Amazing song. It's like about Breaking the Girl.
Even
so. You like that a bit.
I just think it's a bit like, a bit too sexy. It's a bit too sexy for me.
But one of the stories, yeah, that's why you don't like it, because it makes your willy tingle and then you don't know what to do with it.
I think you might be right.
One of the stories I wanted to go back to was about Under the Bridge. That is the only song that I've hated it for years, but I even went back and listened to it the other night on my headphones in bed. And taking aside the fact that I've heard it too much, it was played on MTV so much. You know, it's like their Smells Like Teen Spirit, isn't it? Or their Sweet Child of Mine. It's just so overdone. I vowed never to listen to that song by choice again. And I did a couple of nights ago, or last night. And it was so good that I didn't realise how much I'd missed that song. And that song being made what it was a complete and utter fluke. So if you believe the story, an A&R man, or no, sorry, a record label guy, went to watch the Chili Peppers and then have a meeting with them afterwards to discuss what should be the follow-up single to Give It Away, because that had done really well, you know, what's next? And they're all thinking, oh, it's going to be like Suck My Kiss or Blood Sugar Sex Magic or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, not a ballad. And when they were on stage, Anthony Kiedis forgot to come in with the first line of the songs, and literally the whole crowd sang along where he'd forgotten. And, you know, when he came off stage, he said, oh, sorry, I messed up that song. The guy was just like, no, you have got a solid gold fucking hit there. Under the Bridge is your next single. And they tried to argue against it for a bit. But then they were just like, actually, you know, fuck it. You're right. If those people already know this song, they're in love with it, and it hasn't been, it's, you know, it's an album track, then that's got to be the one that we release. And obviously it works. You know, I think if they hadn't released that, it wouldn't have vomited that album to the heights that it got to.
I 100% agree, Dan. As I say, I've never known an audience or members of an audience to cry because they didn't play a song. Never. and they did for that. So, yeah. Okay. You've got to choose at least, I'd say, a 30 to 50 second snippet of a Chili song. Out of all this album, you've got to choose one. What are you going to choose?
Easy, the sexiest riff ever written. And, you know, as a quick aside, it is John Frusciante's guitar playing that is my number one thing about this album, because when he wants to, he just oozes sexy, slick, thick riffs, and then in the next second he's just laid back, just chinking along to Flea's bass, not trying to be the centre of attention, just playing his little parts, and then just explodes again. And some of the solos are just fucking gut-wrenching. Like, if you listen to the song Blood Sugar Sex Magic itself, it's got the little lead part after the solo. There's one right towards the end where he starts playing a guitar solo over the top of it. My God, it's fucking incredible. If it comes on in the car, I have to put it up full volume. Anyway, this is Mellow Ship Slinky in B major. beautiful.
Well, Daniel, that's it, man. That is your favourite album of all time. That's awesome.
Now we need to choose one for next week for me to have a listen to. No more Kraftwerk, please.
Well, we'll see. I've got it all ready. Hang on, let me press shuffle play. Now, the thing is, I can never... can I? If I take my headphones out, is it going to matter? No, let's just do that. I'm going to take the headphones out for a sec. Right, here we go. So I'm just going to press shuffle and we'll see what comes up. Interesting. Next week, we are going to be talking about the band Veils and their album called Clarity from 2012.
Oh, well, that's a good shout.
Hang on, I'm plugging you back in. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you also hear Veils?
No.
Brilliant. I can. I've really fucked up my headset. Right. Okay. So, did you get that? Veils, Clarity?
Yep.
Are you happy?
Yeah. I think I've got that on vinyl somewhere.
Sweet. Okay. So, listeners, thank you so much for listening to us. Again, we'd really appreciate if you do give us that 5-star rating and also say some nice things. Daniel, you know what's coming up, don't you? Final words, please.
Oh, I never prepare anything for this bit.
You can edit something in.
I'll think about it, maybe.
All right, mate. In that case, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go and have some dinner.
Cool. I shall speak to you soon, dude.
All right, mate. I've been loving this one. Great. I'll speak to you soon.
Take it easy, mate. Bye.
All right. Bye, bye.